Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dr. Eileen Marty is part of the World Health Organization Advisory Group, a mass gathering. So, Dr. Marty, you're the perfect person to ask about Lollapalooza. Everybody's, some people are really looking forward to it. Others are a little freaked out about it. What's your take on a gathering like this?
It's about how up close and personal people get during Lollapalooza, and also it's about whether or not they're wearing masks. That's going to make a difference as to whether there is or is not a super spreader event from Lollapalooza this year.
The concert goers are required to present a COVID-19 vaccination card or a negative COVID-19 test at the entrance to this. For people not fully vaccinated, a negative test result has to be obtained within 72 hours. Do you think that goes far enough?
It would have prior to the Delta variant. It would have been just fine with last year's version of the SARS-2 virus. With this version, we are most unfortunately, Bob, seeing very high viral loads in vaccinated people. So there is a possibility that unwittingly a vaccinated person could have enough virus and share it with an unvaccinated, tested negative individual. So that situation does exist right now as a serious consideration. I love that it's outdoors. That decreases the risk enormously. But I've seen photos of the Lollapalooza in Chicago, and people do get awfully close to one another. So maybe try and stick within your bubble of friends. And the unvaccinated be in the center of that friend group, right? Away from strangers that may inadvertently lead to problems.
We've been hearing about the CDC's new guidelines calling for indoor masking regardless of vaccination status in high and substantial risk counties. Is this just the beginning of more updates on these guidelines from the CDC, Dr. Marty?
Well, I had the opportunity to be on a conversation yesterday with a few folks from the CDC about all this. They've struggled very hard to try and bring the best possible guidance to everyone and look at the real data that is an evolving thing, Bob. I don't necessarily think that we need to get any stricter than what they've just done, but it really depends on how well people listen to what they have currently said about schools and about vaccinated people who are indoors. Especially if you look at where we live here in South Florida, I was just a couple of days ago dealing with, I won't name the individual, but someone who runs 57 schools in South Florida and is having a tremendous amount of pressure from parents that want to make masking optional or in the schools. And she asked me this a few days ago, and I said, look, I think the CDC is going to change their guidelines to meet what the American Academy of Pediatrics is saying, simply because it's the safest, best thing to do right now, when in reality, we need to have those kids in school. It's best for them, and it's best for their families and society in general. But we don't need them to get sick or be contributing to the pandemic and the formation of new variants. And I feel very strongly about that because I think it is important that people realize that masks are really a very trivial discomfort compared to the value that they bring in terms of reducing transmission, both from vaccinated and unvaccinated persons who may be carrying virus.
What I've been thinking about lately, and I think a lot of people have been struggling with, early in the pandemic, we were very careful about Purelling up and surfaces and what we touched. And then we found out, well, COVID-19, not really that easily transmissible from touching something. Now, though, with the Delta variant, do we need to be freaked out about that again, about surfaces?
I think you always have to respect surfaces as a form of contagion. And surfaces it's funny, it's very ironic that because this is so easily transmitted by aerosol, the surface becomes less of an issue. It's not that the surface isn't a means of transmission. The surface becomes a means of transmission if you are very close to someone who is sick, ill with COVID. Right, then they might have enough concentration in their area that you could inadvertently contaminate yourself by touching something that they've just sneezed on or coughed on. Right, but in most settings that we find ourselves in where the people around us look healthy and are not coughing, etc., then surfaces do not become a big issue at all, because then the main mode of risk is the aerosol. And that's why the masks are so valuable, because that's something that it's less obvious, right? It's mm-hmm. very obvious if you're near somebody who's very sick and shedding virus all around you. So you're going to, if you're smart, you're going to be cautious, right? Mm-hmm. But when you don't know that the danger is around you, because it's such a fine mist that could get into your body, that's a setting where the mask is appropriate. Those indoor spaces that are crowded and poorly ventilated.
Do we still put a hold on shaking hands, do you think?
Shaking hands has always been gross, Bob.
You doctors all think that, I know.
Oh, my goodness. Do you realize how many people do not wash their hands after they go to the potty? It's just been a wonderful way to transmit diarrhea, colds, flus forever. And adding COVID to the list is just another reason why handshaking has always been not a really good public health means.
I get it. Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist, professor at Florida International University. I will go to Lollapalooza if you take me and guard me, okay?
Okay.
Fly in. Thanks, Dr. Marty. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Thanks.